And now if you will turn with me to our word for this day, and it's in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Colossians 1, 11 through 12. Let me tell you this. Let me go ahead and read the whole prayer to you, and let's just do that as we go through this. 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. As I said today, your thought for today is, we fail to be all God wants us to be because we make peace with who we are. We fail to be all God wants us to be because we make peace with who we are. What Paul is asking for here in this particular section, like I said, we'll be focusing on verses 11 and 12 today of that prayer, is that need for spiritual strengthening. You know, we all have this thing about power in some way or fashion. Power makes us feel good. Whether it's our team winning on the playing field, or whether it's the power that we might have to exert itself over certain situations in life, we've all experienced that bit of angst as we perhaps are in a situation and we encounter a situation. Maybe it's in a store or something, we're walking back out to the car. Man, we wish I could have handled that differently. I wish I'd have thought, I wish I'd have had that in the moment thinking where I could have just been a little different person during that thing. And so all of that has to do with power. If you remember too that power was one of the curses that God placed upon husband and wife as Adam and Eve had sinned. That was one of the things that God told Eve, said that your desire will be for him, Adam, but that he will rule over you. And so that set into motion a contentious atmosphere within the household as well, as husband and wife vie for power of the household. And men have not done a very good job of stepping into that role of leadership within the home. And so that just adds more fuel to the fire in that particular situation. And so that thing about power that we all crave is more commonly, I think, in that power that we have of our minds over our bodies. As I said before, we all think sometimes that I wish I could have handled that situation a little differently. Even as simple a thought as I wish I could have said no to that piece of cake, or not had that cookie, or whatever it is that we're trying to keep our hands off of, or what we're trying to limit within our lives. And so that power to have control over our bodies, our thoughts, our way of life, that is something that all of us want and want to have within us. And Paul's prayer here is for all kinds of power. He says here in verse 11 that you may be strengthened with all powers. And that's all kinds of power. And that's the power that we need for every situation in life. The power that we need for every situation in life. The power that we need, as we'll see in just a moment, to endure with hope. The power that we need to live a life in thanksgiving, even in the face of trials, even in the face of storms. All of that takes power. And what is the source of that power? According to Paul, that source of power comes from the Lord. And it is a source that we need to pray for, that we have it in our lives, but also that we receive it. Something can be offered, but we fail to receive it. And so when you pray for things, and when you go about the life of the church, I ask that you also stay in a mode of receiving. What are we apt to do because of how we have been brought up? Let me do this for you. No, we've got it. We're okay. Well, how about this? No, we can take care of it. We don't want to put you out. And we don't. We don't want to put anybody out. But we limit the service and we limit the love that is trying to be shown to us a lot of times by refusing to receive what others are offering. And I've said this before, especially around Christmas time, what's the first thing we do? Somebody unexpectedly gives you a Christmas present. And then to defend ourselves, we go something like, oh, I've got yours at home. And then we go home and we frantically try to find for something that we can give these folks. And we wrap it up in here. Here's one for you because we don't want to be outdone. And so we lack the gift of reception. Because it offends us maybe, I don't know, makes us feel bad. Well, I didn't think of them because they thought of me. Whatever it was, we get in this mode of defense because we lack the gift of reception. And so God is offering us power. And Paul is saying the power is there, all kinds of power that we need. But we have to be in the mode of reception of that power. We get in the mode of receiving that power by praying that God will deliver to us what we need in each situation. And we do that now, not just when we get into that situation. We do that now so that we can be more fully prepared for the situations we will encounter in life. A continuing theme in this prayer is, like I shared with you last week, in the illustration of sporting teams. We don't wait until we're in the competition to devise a plan of attack. Sometimes plans have to be adjusted. That's life. But we practice during the week in our sporting teams so that we can be prepared to take on our opponent in the competition on the weekends. And in a Christian life, we fall into that same type of preparedness where we pray for God's strength. We pray that we will be vessels who will receive that strength. We pray that we will have the power that we need as we encounter life situations to endure them, to be people of faith, even when the world is trying to work against that faith and place doubts within us. And so that preparation then comes in our spiritual life, in our prayer life, as we prepare ourselves for the next challenge that life is surely to pour out upon us. How is this power granted to us? Notice the wording that Paul uses here, where he says that it is power that comes to us according to His, God's, glorious might. That is words of comparison, according to His glorious might. It's not out of His glorious might, it's according to. This is the illustration. If a man has $1 million a year income and you ask him for a contribution, he can give you out of that $1 million, which means he can give you $10. Or he can give you according to that $1 million income, which would be substantially greater than that meager $10. And so according to is a comparative term. And when Paul uses it with God, he's saying according to all of the power that God has, which is immense. We call him omnipotent, which means that he is all powerful. And so at our disposal, at the Christian's disposal, is all the power that God has to come to us, to deliver to us the grace that we need in the moment that we happen to find ourselves. And it is unlimited power. It is unlimited power. So how does that power then be limited because some fail to see what God is making us to be or wants us to be because we become satisfied with who we are. We get complacent. We get accepting of where we are in life, of the person that we are. We get comfortable in life. As I said, it's easy to get in a rut. It's easy to just go through the motions of life. And it is just as easy to go through the motions of church. But we pray, we attend church, we talk about church perhaps. We saying, you know, well, I'll see you in church on Sunday. Now that's good. Then we all get together on Sunday and we have this thing that we call church and we catch up on the news of the week and we wish each other well and then we depart and then we go about our business and church then just becomes a thing that we do. It's just another thing that we do. I talked to a young mom one time as I was encouraging her to participate in a youth meeting that we had at the other church. And her response to me was, we've got horseback riding on Monday, we've got dance on Tuesday, we've got basketball practice on Wednesday, we've got whatever it was on Thursday. I don't need another meeting on Saturday. That was almost the tone that she told me. And so her life had been so purposely filled with all of this other stuff that she didn't have room for God. As I shared in Sunday school this morning, if you could imagine a tub filled with water and you took this bottle of water in the bottle and you stuck it down into that tub, that'd be like God in your life. How quickly does that water fill back in when you take God out? When you lift that bottle of water out of that tub, how quickly does that water come back together? We don't need to look for things that will fill that vacancy when we take God out of our life or when we ignore Him. We don't need to look for things. They're going to rush in. There's so many things that we can do now. There's so many things that our children can become involved in that can take precedent in our lives. There's so many activities that we can be involved in ourselves. So then we can take this out of a bucket of water and that water rushes just back in and that becomes our life. It's just like it was never there, right? And if we don't purposely continue to seek God and place Him and hold Him there, that's how our lives can become. But you know what the amazing thing is? If we put God back in there, that bucket will accommodate it. It's not like it becomes iced over or frozen so that that won't fit. It's not like the hole morphs so that that bottle won't go back in there. Our lives will accommodate it, but you have to make the effort of putting God back in there, of seeking Him, of praying for that strength, of praying that God will give you the power to keep Him in your life, that you will become a person who thinks of God first when struggles and trials come in, who thinks of God first even in the good times of your life, who thinks of God in a way that I want to have Him in my life at all times and I'm going to make a place for Him. I'm going to receive Him and I'm going to be a receptive vessel of all that He wants to give to me. When we do that, then God delivers to us all kinds of power according to the source, according to all the strength that He has. And one of those types of power is to endure with hope. All of us are familiar with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now I want to tell you that the NIV does a lot better job with this than the ESV, my Bible. The NIV says I can do all this, and the this is all of those things that Paul talked about to begin with. But what happens in that verse is that it's become not corrupted, but it's become misapplied in so many things. If you remember, Tim Tebow would have it in his eye black, Philippians 4:13 over here, and you'd see a picture of him on a magazine somewhere when he was playing, and he'd have Philippians 4:13. If you watch that movie Soul Surfer about the young Christian lady who lost her arm to a shark attack and she had to recover to get back into competitive surfing, that was one of the lines used in that movie. Her father was trying to encourage her. Remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That verse is not saying that we can be superhuman. That verse is not saying that God will supply me with all things that I want to be. It's not promising divine power to make us better athletes or to encourage us to keep striving even in the face of this competitor over here. What that verse is telling us to do, that God is going to continue to give us the strength that we need to face the obstacles of life when life wants to take our strength away from us. When life wants to keep us in a state of being defeated, when life wants to keep us in a state of being in despair, that we have that promise in Philippians 4:13, that promise of contentment. As one commentator put it, Paul, God, is not encouraging Christians to go out and conquer the world. He's reminding them that they can press on when the world conquers them. He's reminding them that you can press on when the world conquers them. When it looks like the obstacles that you're facing and you just don't see a way around them, when it looks like the world itself has turned against you, and every time you turn around something bad has happened, there's been some obstacle now placed in your life, there's been some consequence, there's been something put in your life that you seem like is just too much for you, or just, you know, what else can happen to me now? That's what this verse is for. And that's a reminder to all of us that all kinds of power exist for the Christian to tap into. But we have to continue to keep the source of that power in our life. And we have to access that power. And we have to be receptive vesicles of that power. Enduring with hope, from Thessalonians 1:3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we have hope when it seems like our world is lost? How can we have hope when it just seems like there's no rescue there? That is the promise that we have in these verses, that God is there to deliver that hope to us. How is that possible? If you imagine yourself adrift in an ocean of storm and struggle and strife and fear and despair and the unknown, and how is this going to happen? How is this going to work out? How am I going to be able to fill in the blank? Why does this keep happening to me? Why has this happened to me? I don't understand what this is all about. Why could this happen? How could I do this? Whatever that question is, it's like you're adrift on the ocean and you're being battered back and forth by the waves and you're holding on to that life preserver with all your might. And if you're out in the ocean and you fail to see a tree line anywhere or a shoreline anywhere, it leads to despair. It leads to hopelessness because you see no end to this in sight. You see no help in sight. But what this promise is that God will instill into you that hope through faith. And He's promised to give you that hope through faith that would come to you if you were in that situation, clinging on to that little piece of wood or life jacket, and all of a sudden you see a tree line, or all of a sudden you see a boat coming your way, or an airplane flies overhead. Something that will give you hope. Something that will give you the encouragement to hang on. And that's what this verse is saying. That steadfastness of hope is that kind of a spark when you feel like everything is working against you in your life. But you see that on the shore and you start moving toward it, and it gives you the strength that you need because you see that your rescue can be in sight. And that's what God wants to be to you, is that hope on the shores. You're being battered by the oceans of life. He wants to be that hope on the shore for you so that you can paddle toward Him, so that you can make your way toward Him, to give you that strength that you need, that spark of encouragement to keep you going. That steadfastness is endurance or patience. And it's a mindset that we have. All of this, folks, is a battle for your mind. We went through that sermon series a couple of years ago. But all of this is a battle for your mind. We call it heart, but it's a battle for your mind. Do we put God in His position of power in our minds? By doing that in our minds, we put Him in that position of power in our lives. Is He our first thought? Is He our persistent thought? Or is He like I shared with the kids, in a box on a shelf and we know where to find Him? And the only way we access Him, and the only reason we access Him, is because we think life is just too much for us. It is good that we access Him. But what I'm trying to encourage us all this day with this little mini-series is to pray for the mind process, that we access this every day. And not just when life is too hard. Or not just when we're about to give up hope. But that we access this power every day. Because this power is also transforming power. That takes you and I and works on us a little bit along and along through the stuff of life, through the faith that we have, through our conversations with God, through the reading about Him in His Word, through the worshiping of Him in church. All of these things that life gives to us and that God has provided for us to be stronger takes all of these things, and it instills in our hearts a thought process that God is in my life and He is a constant and persistent source of power. Not just an extra battery in the shed or a generator in the shed that we go to and crank up when our own power is challenged. But He is there persistently and consistently. And the last thing I want to share with you in these verses today was the power to live in thanksgiving. Yes, it does take power to live in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a learned behavior, but it must be practiced to be effective. How do we live in thanksgiving? It's an adjustment of the mind again. Life situations are used by God to remake us. And I know that none of us have a handle on that. Count it all joy, my brothers, you know, when life throws you all of these things, as James says, because then you have an opportunity, I'm paraphrasing, then you have an opportunity to get closer to the Lord. None of us comes home, "Well, honey, I lost my job today. We got a chance to get closer to God now." Oh. Or this life thing has happened to me now, and I'm in a worse spot that I've ever been in my life, but I'm going to get closer to God now. Woo! None of us come home thinking that way. And that's understandable. Because sometimes all we can do, as I said, is hang on to that little thing that's keeping us afloat in the ocean. But God wants to be that little thing that keeps us afloat in the ocean. And we can be thankful for that little thing that keeps us afloat in the ocean. Because it would be a lot harder to stay afloat in the ocean without that little thing, whatever it is. There was a lady named Laura Story. Y'all probably remember this, that song Blessings that was out years ago. Let me read you the chorus of that. It says, "Cause what if our blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're here? You're near, I'm sorry. And what if trials of this life or your mercies in disguise? See, what prompted her to write that story was her husband's serious health condition. He had a brain tumor. And as they struggled with that brain tumor, she struggled with her faith. But she chose to hang on to that faith in thanksgiving. This is what she said about that. She said, there's a decision that I find God is asking us to make. Whether we're going to judge God based on our circumstances, or whether we are going to choose to interpret our circumstances based on what we hold to be true about God. Let me read that to you again. There's a decision that I find God is asking us to make. Whether we're going to judge God based on our circumstances, or whether we are going to choose to interpret our circumstances based on what we hold to be true about God. Why did you do this to me, God? Or God, I'm thankful for what you're supplying to me in this situation. Because I know that you are a good God. I know that you are a trustworthy God. I know that in all that you do, you have my best interests at heart. There were many times when you were a child, and in whatever ways your parents punished you, you were probably wondering, why are you doing this to me? And if they were good parents, they were just as broken about it as you were. Because even though they may not have felt the pain that you were experiencing in whatever part of your body that they chose to administer the rod of punishment, their hearts were breaking. Because this is what they had to do to be sure that you grew up to be the young men and women that they wanted you to be. And so sometimes God allows things into our lives that he knows will hurt us. But he knows that without this thing, whatever it is, that you won't be the person that he wants you to be. And so Laura Story and her husband chose to see God as a good God who wants to give good gifts to his children. And even though the stuff of life can be so hard that we find what good can possibly come out of this God. It's not in that situation that we find goodness. It's in the source of our strength to endure that situation that we choose to see goodness and grace and mercy. And that's what makes the power to live in thanksgiving possible. It's what made the Story family able to live in an optimistic way while they dealt with life-threatening illness. And it's what gives us the strength each day to seek God's power to thrive, to be content, whatever word you want to put in there, in adversity. Because it is unlimited power if we tap into it and if we're willing to receive it. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this day that you've given to us a source of unlimited power that is ours through your Spirit. May we always remember that source, and may we in faith continue to reach out to that source. May we see you as our life preserver, keeping us afloat in the trials and storms of life. And Father, we pray that your name will be upon our lips in peace as well as adversity, that we might be fully prepared to be the men and women that reflect your character no matter what trial of life comes our way, or no matter the bounty that you choose to bestow upon us. May our message be consistent, that we love you, and we know that you are a God who wants to give good gifts to your children. And so we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.